It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob. Trump administration launched its direct-to-consumer prescription drug website in recent days. TrumpRx had been announced in the fall as part of a deal with pharmaceutical companies.
The White House says it is an effort to lower prescription drug costs for consumers with negotiated discounts from the drug makers.
Those discounts came with some caveats, though. Customers have to pay directly and not go through their insurance.
And they can't already be enrolled in a government insurance program like Medicare. They also can't pursue insurance reimbursement for the out-of-pocket costs or count the expenses toward a deductible. We're getting a better understanding of what impact this new TrumpRx site will have on Wisconsin patients and pharmacies. Hashim Zabok is a pharmacist and CEO of Hyatt Pharmacies, which has 20 locations around Milwaukee in southeastern Wisconsin. Hashim, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you for having me, Kate.
When you hear about the federal government starting this direct-to-consumer prescription drug site, how did you react to this news?
To be honest with you, initially I was expecting a lot more. When the announcement was made, it sounded like a terrific idea, because definitely we do need to get the cost of medication better here in the United States. Because when I travel to other countries, Canada, Europe, Middle East, I see the price of the same exact medications made by the same factory for one-tenth of the cost here in the United States. So I was really hoping that this would be truly a solution for our issues, but I think we're still steps away from finding a true solution.
I checked. There are 43 prescription drugs on TrumpRx site, but there are thousands and thousands of prescription drugs all across our healthcare landscape. What do you make of this tiny, tiny fraction? Can it have an impact?
It's going to have very little impact right now, because I looked at the 43 drugs that they have listed right now. Many of them are products that have been in generic for many, many, many years. And I've been a pharmacist for 26 years, and I don't remember when the last time I dispensed a brand name Diflucan, for example.
And what does that
everybody,
do?
That's a medication that sometimes it's used for yeast infection. Mm-hmm. And yes, it does sound good, because it's reducing the price of the brand name, but nobody's using the brand name. Everybody's getting the generic for $2. So it's not as good as it sounds, but I'm still optimistic. I think that if they work really well, and they continue to work on finding the right manufacturers who are willing to work with them, they're going to find better solutions. But like I said, so far, I'm not very impressed.
So from the perspective of a pharmacist, do your pharmacies have much negotiating power with drug companies? Or are you more or less forced to sell prescription drugs at the prices that they provide you?
When it comes to the brand name medications, we absolutely have no negotiation power. We have to go by what the wholesalers are telling us, and it's usually a standard price. So it's not that if I go to a secondary or another wholesaler, I would get a better price. So when it comes to a brand name like Ozempic, I'm going to have to buy it from my primary wholesaler, and there is really no negotiation there. When it comes to the generics, yes, if you go from one wholesaler to another, the cost can be 50% or sometimes even 25% of the other wholesalers. So on the generic side, yes, there is a way to get a better deal, but on the brand name, there isn't.
You mentioned Ozempic, and there's been this, you know, just explosion of GLP-1 drugs to treat obesity, which has led to people, you know, buying drugs directly from pharmaceuticals. And I'm wondering, this consumer market for drugs that, you know, is this new? Have we seen this before? And how have GLP-1s changed pharmacy?
Every decade or so, we have a new group of medications. They're like the blockbusters, the new ones that really, really make a difference. I don't know if you remember when Prozac came in the market. It was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was a drug that did not have anything similar to it in the past. And it really made a big difference in the way we treat depression. If you remember Lipitor, when Lipitor came in the market, that was a big, big deal, because we were able to take one tablet once a day. And it did magic. It lowered our cholesterol significantly, not just at the individual level, but also at the community level. People were having less heart attacks, less strokes since the introduction of Lipitor and its cousins. There are other drugs that are similar to it. When it comes to blood pressure, there was the lisinopril, for example, when it was first introduced. That made a huge difference because we were able to control the blood pressure with a drug that has very minimal side effects. When metformin or glucophage was introduced, that made a big difference for people who have diabetes because we were able to control diabetes with a tablet taken once a day that has a good impact that really helped a lot of people get their diabetes under control. Mm-hmm. And now with the GLP ones, it's really a game changer. This group of medication, we see weight losses in 25, 30, 35, sometimes 50%. And that was unheard of before GLP-1s. I mean, mm-hmm. I remember, for example, we used to recommend phentermine before GLP-1s, but you would get like a loss of like 5-6% of weight loss, nothing mm-hmm. close to the GLP-1s. So the GLP-1s really made a huge difference.
Going back to Lipitor, my generic cholesterol medication, my generic Lipitor cost $0 each month, zero. Perfect. And it is perfect. So, you know, how well does insurance normally help to reduce the costs for drugs for patients? And is there any potential for savings by not using insurance through something like TrumpRx?
I'll give you a little bit more details about TrumpRx in a little bit. But when it comes to Lipitor on the generic, the cost on it is very low now because there are so many companies that make the generic Lipitor. So even if you have no insurance at all, you can probably get it for less than $10 a month with no insurance. Sometimes you might be able even to get it like a 3-month supply for less than $20. So the issue is not with those generics. The challenge is with the brand name medications that cost a lot of money. And especially now, more than 50% of the drugs that are being introduced in the market today are specialty drugs. Those are the ones that cost thousands of dollars. And we don't have a way right now to reduce that cost because obviously the manufacturers are trying to get their research and development cost to make the drug. And then between us as pharmacists and the insurance or the payers, there is a middleman. And that they're called the PBMs, Pharmacy Benefit Managers. Mm-hmm. And they are, in my opinion, they're actually part of the problem because they are collecting those rebates from the manufacturer. They're basically going to the manufacturer, like Pfizer, and they're telling them, if you want your drug to be on our formulary, you have to pay us a rebate. And that rebate can be up to like 30 or 35% of the actual cost of the medication. And we as pharmacists don't see that. The patient himself or herself does not see that. And then the payers a lot of times don't see that. And that goes straight to their pockets. So I think that as a country, we really need to find a solution for this. And by the way, we are the only country in the world that has PBMs, pharmacy benefit managers.
We're talking about prescription drug access and costs and the direct-to-consumer TrumpRx site. Our guest is Hashim Zabok, who is a pharmacist and CEO of Hyatt Pharmacies in the Milwaukee and southeastern Wisconsin area. Hashim, how often is cost a barrier for patients at your pharmacy? Is it more about the cost of the prescriptions themselves, or is it about the access to insurance? What are some of the barriers you see?
We have a lot of uninsured patients, and those are the ones that are most vulnerable because those are the ones that have absolutely no coverage, okay? Now, for the people who do have insurance, whether it's private or Medicaid or Medicare, there is a way for them to get the prescription that they need. So if a drug is medically needed or medically necessary, there is a way, for example, to get the prior authorization and get it covered. And there are programs to help with the copays, like if somebody has a high copay, like the drug, let's say a $7,000 drug with a $900 copay, there are programs to help the patients with these copays. I think the biggest challenge is the people who are uninsured. And those are the ones, most of the time, we're able to take care of them with the generics and some of the products that are already available in a generic form. But sometimes they do need some of those expensive medications that don't have generics and they don't have an alternative. And those are the ones that actually cost a lot of money. And a lot of times, unfortunately, they get stuck either by paying a lot of money to get them or going without them.
We've seen, you know, cuts to Medicaid. You know, we've seen the impact of the expiration of the Affordable Care Act federal tax credits. I'm wondering, are you seeing impacts like this for patients? And, you know, are they able to afford that insurance now, whether it's on the marketplace or elsewhere?
No, and marketplace place is very expensive unless a person qualifies for some help. But honestly, since the expiration of the ACA, it's been really a challenge because a lot of people lost their Medicaid coverage. So when they go on the marketplace to get their own insurance, it costs them like hundreds and sometimes thousands of dollars per month for an insurance with very high deductible. So a lot of people just tell us, I decided to go without insurance this year because of the cost. I could not afford the monthly premiums. And even if I did, the deductibles are so high that there is a pretty good chance I might go this year without hitting my deductible. So what's the point? Mm-hmm. And they're willing to take that risk of having like a catastrophic problem. And they'll be like, you know what, I'll take that risk versus having to pay all this money for the premiums, which is not something I recommend. But unfortunately, when it's the difference between putting food on the table or paying for those monthly premiums, some people prefer will just put the food on the table.
You have been so intentional about trying to address pharmacy deserts with your locations in southeastern Wisconsin. Can online pharmacies reduce some of that transportation barrier as well? Or what impact do you have as a pharmacy in a community that doesn't have one?
The mail order is a good option for a very small percentage of people. Like if somebody is living in the middle of nowhere and it takes them, let's say, 45 minutes to get to the next pharmacy, then mail order might be a good option, but they won't have that one-on-one interaction with the pharmacist. And that's where a lot of the magic happens. That's where you actually can make a change in convincing somebody to be more adherent to their meds, to maybe quit smoking, to start eating healthier, maybe exercise more. That's when you have that emotional connection with the pharmacist, then you can you're more willing to, or more able to make those kind of changes. The mail order is different. It's just like an Amazon. You request a refill for a blood pressure medication, it gets delivered to your house the next day. And if you forget to request the refill on time, then you might go without the medication for a day or two, which, as we know, that's not a good thing.
Hmm. Your pharmacies have multilingual pharmacists, staffers who represent over 20 languages spoken. How much of a barrier is language when it comes to important medical conversations with patients trying to understand their prescriptions?
A lot. With the new immigrants, it's definitely an issue. We have pharmacies in Hispanic areas of Milwaukee where more than 70% of our patients just speak Spanish. For example, I have Bernie, and she's my technician at one of the pharmacies. She's wonderful. She speaks Spanish. So when the pharmacist wants to tell the patient something, she'll be the middle person between the pharmacist and the patient in order to translate for them. And a lot of times when Bernie is off, they'll be like, I'll come the next day. I'll come. And then they'll say it in Spanish. And they'll, because they just love working with her because she explains to them things in their first language. And she understands the culture. It's not just the language, because you can use the Google Translate to translate sometimes some what you want to say to the patient. But when you have somebody who can understand your culture, you feel more comfortable with them and you're more willing to follow their advice. Like I tell people, like I was born in the Middle East, so if I speak Arabic, that's my first language. And if I go to a pharmacy or a doctor and they tell me, no, you cannot eat your pita every day anymore. I mean, that's pita.
That's
pita
big.
Bread is like, yeah, that's big. I can't go without my pita bread.
Sure.
But if somebody comes to me and tells me, you know what, instead of eating two, maybe just have one or half. Okay. Mm-hmm. Somebody who understands my culture is going to tell me, is going to understand more how to get to me and how to advise me the right way. Again, there's certain foods, for example, in the, with the Rohingya community. We have a lot of Rohingya patients here. So by the fact that I have Sophia, and she speaks Rohingya, she can connect with them. She can understand some of their challenges, and she can communicate that to the pharmacist. And then we can have a better impact. Same thing applies to any other language. When I'm interviewing people, if the person tells me that they speak another language, that gives them a lot more points during the interview. So there is a better chance of me hiring them. Again, for this reason, because these people who speak only that language will benefit from having that person on staff.
Hashim, we've seen a lot of upheaval around immigration enforcement and growing fears here in Wisconsin. Are you seeing that added stress make it more difficult for patients to go out and get the care they need and stay on their medicine regimens?
We've seen actually an increase in the number of people who want home delivery in the last few months. And I'm assuming some of these people are scared of leaving their homes. So they are requesting the delivery more often, even though they have cars and they used to be able to leave more often, but now they want to stay home. So we have seen an increase in number of people who specifically just want their medications delivered. And of course, that can impact the whole community. We have a few patients who are not coming to the pharmacy anymore. And we were told from other people that the reason is because of what's going on right now with the ICE activity.
Hmm. You have seen decades of healthcare in this country. Are there other initiatives you'd like to see from government leaders or other stakeholders to address prescription drug costs and access? I mean, TrumpRx is this next development, but what kind of steps would you advocate for?
I want some real solutions. Not a solution that already existed before TrumpRx. For example, the manufacturer coupons for some of those drugs existed before TrumpRx. So just to say that we invented something new when it's really not new, that's not going to help. Or if we work with the GoodRx, okay, GoodRx existed before TrumpRx. So to say that this is a new thing when it actually a lot of it is just a GoodRx coupon, that's not going to help us. Or if there are companies that have a direct-to-consumer portals where you can actually request your prescription to be shipped directly from the manufacturer's pharmacy. Those things existed before. So to claim that these are new things just to tell the public, oh, we have a solution now, that's not going to resolve the issue. I want to see some real solutions, not a Diflucan that's been in the generic for many, many years, and we have been able to buy it for a couple of dollars for somebody to say, oh, now you can get the brand name at a discount. I don't care about the brand name discount if the generic is available. I want to see some real solutions, real solutions where we can, as the richest country in the world, I want to see our people, whether they have insurance or not have insurance, have easy access to the medications they need.
Hashim, thank you for this conversation. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Hashim Zabok is a pharmacist and CEO of Hyatt Pharmacies. He was with us to share his thoughts on improving prescription drug access and the potential impact of the new TrumpRx direct-to-consumer prescription drug website.